Okay, so we continue on the topic of D-bar. We are on page 497, and the learning today is always from Yischus Yilu, as well as the for all those in a makom sakana and those risking their lives to protect it. So we are talking about certain things related to Dibur that are Aser. And yesterday we talked about somebody who speaks in middle of learning. We also talked about somebody who davens when it's not appropriate. And we also talked about somebody who is mafsik in the middle of certain parts of davening. So now he continues on page 497. He says, somebody who says tefillah, meaning davening, or he says brachas without any intent, where he has the ability, so he's not an oines, and it's not beyond his level of understanding. He's just not making the effort to do so. Shehu keguf b'li neshama. It's like having a body without a soul. Even though technically you're fulfilling your obligation of tefillah or bracha, and you're going to get some reward, but anashi anish, you'll still be punished for the missing aspect of the kavana. Al amrei b'li kavana v'sena without kavana k'dechsev yan ki nigash ha'am hazeh b'fivu b'tzvasa kibduni, because the people drew close to me with their mouths and with their lips honored me. But the libay rachak mimeni, even though their lips were moving, but their heart was far from me, v'tehi rasam ma'isi mitzvasa nashim melumada. So their fear of me is like just going through the motions. Lachin therefore in the yosef l'hafli asam hazeh hafli b'fela, I'm going to bring wonders against these people. Rahmana Litzlan. It comes out that someone who's davening and without kavana, he's having a positive impact and a negative impact. He's speaking both good words that he's going to be rewarded for, but also it's like he's speaking bad words in the sense that he's going to be punished for the tefillah without the kavana. Where Hashem will accept only the good, but what's evil, he's not going to accept. So too here, he's, like I said, he's going to be punished for the lack of kavanah. Now, continuing on page 498, Hamivarech brachas levatala. You have someone who makes a bracha levatala, or a bracha that's not necessary, or a chatufis, or a rush bracha, or abbreviated bracha. So let's take these one at a time. So a bracha levatala is a bracha that has no purpose. So for example, you make a bracha and you don't do the mitzvah. So you make a shahako and you don't drink anything. So that's a bracha levatala. Bracha she'ena tzricha is a bracha where you're about to wash on a meal. And before you wash on the meal, you make a mezainis on something. But you're about to wash. Now, in that case, because you're about to wash and the washing is going to be yotzei, the mezainis as well. So that's called a bracha levat, the bracha she'ena tzricha. You did eat a mezainis, but because it wasn't necessary, it shows a lack of respect for Hashem. Chatufa is where you rush through. Ketufa is where you cut off part of it, part of the bracha. They also talk about a main chatufa and an amen ketufa. Oy neged erva, or you say a bracha opposite someone undressed. Ay b'makam she'enanaki, or in an unclean place. Kitvar Hashem baza, it shows that you are being mevaza the word of Hashem. B'mkay mitzvah avera hi b'yaday. Instead of doing a mitzvah, you've done an avera. And hamaychiach es chaveh b'rabim, someone who gives Musar and Techacha to his friend publicly, Umal bin Panav and humiliates him. Bim Kaim mitzvah, Averi hi biyadai. Again, instead of a mitzvah, you're getting an Averi. Ki'ilu shavich damim, and as the Gemara Bab Metzia says, it's like you're killing him because you're embarrassing him. If you give Musar in a time when it's not appropriate to do so. Ki yesh eis ladabra, the eis lishtoik. Sometimes it's a time to speak, and sometimes it's supposed to remain silent, and he gives an example of this. Like in a place where Chazal say, "Hanach let the Klal Yisrael be alone; let them continue in their ways. Better that they do it unintentionally than they do it intentionally." So there's a couple of caveats to this. When you're supposed to just mutav, because we don't say that on everything. If a person has the ability to learn the halacha and he fails to do so, he's going to be punished. Even if he doesn't know the halacha, that's not called a shagig. What we're talking about here is where the masses do something, and we know we're not going to be able to change them for whatever reason. But we are convinced that we're not going to change them. So for us to speak out is just going to turn them from being a shogeg into a mezid. And but it has to be something that's not written explicitly in the Torah. If there's an explicit halach in the Torah that's spelled out in a pasuk, so then that there's no heter of mutav shogeg. He says it's better not to give teifachah in a case where mutav shogeg. Why? Because if he makes them a mezid, then they're going to be punished that much more severe. Somebody who wants to reopen a dispute after it was shehumachzer, you're resuming the machlekes after something was already settled. That the vikuach is part of the machlekes, meaning once you kindle a debate, then it turns into a debate, eventually grows into a feud. Feud meaning there's animosity now and there's hatred between the two sides. So the best thing to do is not to have a vikuach, not to have a debate. But it certainly, if a debate was resolved, for you to reopen it, and we learned this also in the Sechta Sanhedrin, that once there's a gemar din, not to re, you don't re appeal the you don't appeal the judgment, you don't reopen the judgment. Amayra halacha b'fnei rabbi, someone who paskins in front of his rebbe, b'li reshusa without his permission, afilu kibeasa b'chutcha, even the question of putting egg dipped in kutach. So if you remember from the Gemara, there was this dish that they would, this dip that they would dip their egg and bread in. It was called kutach habavli. It was like sour milk and I don't know, breadcrumb, whatever. There's a whole bunch of stuff. Now, the question is, because the kutach has milk, are you allowed to dip an egg? Meaning, are you allowed to essentially have milk and eggs? Okay, now this was a shaila that's very, it's already resolved, right? There's no open debate on it. But even to Paschim, if someone comes to your Rebbe and asks him whether he's allowed to eat that egg with milk, and it's something that's well known, you're still not allowed to paskin without his permission. Someone who paskins when he's drunk, or he paskins in an area that he's not so familiar with, as clearly as he knows the fact that his sister is usher to him. Okay, instead of doing a mitzvah, he's doing an aveira and he's going to be punished. Regarding this aveira of giving a psak when it's inappropriate to do so, the Pasuk initially says that as a result, many victims fell, and the number of those slain, killed, is very, very large. The hagas libay b'hira, someone who's quick to take cases. Why? Because he's very confident and arrogant about his ability to paskin. Shaita rasha v'gas ruach. So he's a fool, wicked, and arrogant. Misho miyirei hayra raises zaris v'niskar. Someone who approaches psak halacha with yirei shemayim is considered someone who's diligent, and that person is going to be rewarded. So the idea here is, but not to paskin in areas where you're unqualified to paskin, and to be very careful about that, not to do it in front of your rabbi, and also not to do it in areas where you are not qualified to do so.